This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
So Ibn al-Qayyim goes on to mention, after speaking about making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala great, glorifying him and extolling him, and remember, this was talking about one of the signs of istiqamat al-qalb, which is the first one being to love Allah more than anything else, and the second one is being of ta'zim al-amr wa nahi, making the order and the prohibitions of Islam great in your life. But that will not happen unless there's ta'zim al-amr and nahi, unless you make the one that is legislated the orders and the prohibitions great in your life. In other words, you're not going to find the halal and haram. It's not going to be something that you hold dearly and heavy in your heart unless Allah is held dearly and heavy in your heart, because he is the one that has legislated it. So he gave some signs of ta'zim al-amr and nahi. He gave some signs of being those that are that hold the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart, with the example of the salawat and the prayers and holding that in high regard. But then he goes on to talk about another subject matter, which is yani yatafarra anhu. It is a subset of this particular subject matter. And he says here, after he says, Rahimullah ta'ala, فَصَلَاتٌ بِلَا خُشُوعٍ وَلَا حُضُورٍ كَبَدْنٍ مَيِّتٍ لَا رُوحَ فِيهِ. He said the salat that has no khushur, no undivided attention, is like the body that has no soul in it. He says, فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لِلْعَبْدِ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ إِلَّا مَا عَقَلَ مِنْهَا. He said that verily there is nothing for the prayer in the prayer of the individual for the slave except that which they are have their undivided attention and understanding are fully aware of. كما كان في السنن كما في السنن ومسند إمام أحمد وغيره عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال إن العبد لا يصلي الصلاة وما كتب له إلا نصفها إلا ثلثها إلا ربعها إلا خمسها حتى بلغ عشرها. There's a hadith where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, verily the servant will perform a prayer and there is nothing that is written for him, يعني reward, except a half of it or a third of it or a fourth of it until he reached a fifth of it or a fifth of it until he reached a tenth of it. And this hadith is azim jiddan, as Ibn al-Qayyim uses this hadith to establish another principle or subject matter that is important in regards to actions. He says, rahimahullah, وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُعْلَمَ أَنَّ سَائِرَ الْأَعْمَالِ تَجْرِي هَذَا الْمَجْرَى فتفاضل الأعمال عند الله تعالى بتفاضل ما في القلوب من الإيمان والإخلاص والمحبة وتوابعها. This is very interesting, and this is fiqh of the religion, where Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, after this mentioning this hadith, remember this hadith, because this hadith is the asl, it is the foundational principle or foundational hadith in this subject matter. He says, and it is important that it is known that all actions take this particular methodology. Okay? He says, فَتَفَاضُلُ الْأَعْمَالِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بِتَفَاضُلِ مَا فِي الْقُلُوبِ. So he says here, the variance and preference of actions is solely dependent on the variance of what is in the heart from iman and ikhlas and love and that which follows it. So when we're talking about an action being performed, the variance here is the intensity of acceptance. The level of acceptance is dependent upon the level of sincerity. He even says, min al-iman wa ikhlas. And that's beautiful here, because iman can be more general. The belief, the tasdiq, the full faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ikhlas. And ikhlas is sincerity to Allah. And then he says, wal mahabba, and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, and watawabi'uha, and that which follows it, from fear, from reverence, from trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Depending on what the action is, the intensity of these feelings or these aspects of iman is what will entail or determine the intensity of its reward. The intensity of its reward. And then he goes on to say, rahimahullah, وَهَذَا الْعَمَلُ الْكَامِلُ هُوَ الَّذِي يُكَفِّرُ تَكْفِيرًا كَامِلًا وَنَاقِصُ بِحَسِبِ. Then he goes on to the other subject matter, which is expiations of sins. But I want to talk about this particularly because when Ibn Qayyim branches off, when talking about, remember, he was talking about holding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders great in your life and then mentioning the prayer. But he's saying, remember, the prayer, you only get the prayer from what you are attentive and present in. As he mentioned earlier, hudur al-qalb. You have khushu', undivided attention, and your heart is present. Remembering and fiqh of the religion, when bringing this hadith, you don't know if it's a half, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, a tenth of your prayer that was accepted. The other ninth was not. You don't know. What you can rely on and try your best to do, not even rely on, try your best is to have sincerity and iman and love and trust and honor and fear. All of these are aspects of worship. And what will bring these aspects of worship to life is when you think of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will bring this to life is when you recognize the blessings, mushahadat al-minna, he talked about earlier, and recognize your deficiencies. In the prayer, you can think about that. You say, Allahu Akbar, you think about how Allah has given you the house that you're in, how Allah has given you your health. You recognize the minna. You're recognizing it. And then you realize, I couldn't have done this by myself. This job, this office that I'm praying in right now, I couldn't have attained this by myself. Right, the prayer that I'm praying right now after taking my exam that I feel really good about, that was from the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah has taken away from something that I value most, He gave it to me and He can take it away. I recognize the minna, the blessings, and I recognize my deficiencies. So recognizing those blessings increases my love of Him, which when I think about it in the prayer, my love increases in the prayer. In the prayer. So from that time that you weren't thinking, probably not being accepted, Allah knows best. But when you started to think about what you have been given, your love increases. Now, the path of acceptance is getting more and more intensified. And when you recognize your deficiencies, you recognize how small you are in comparison to Allah, how you're nothing without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how the choices, that what He's put in front of you is because He loves you. You recognize that, and that is from the ikhlas, the sincerity, oh Allah, I'm doing this for you, and I want your blessings. That's what makes you more of a humble servant. And that's what intensifies the khushu' in the prayer and in any action of worship. Even giving charity, even smiling at your fellow brother to bring happiness into his heart. That is what intensifies it. And that's what makes it pure, inshallah ta'ala. So with this beautiful hadith, it is a foundational principle in regards to the acceptance of an action. It's not black or white. It's not black or white. There are some black or white things when it comes to the pillars of something and what is prohibited, which we're going to talk about, inshallah ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim goes on to talk about the mukaffirat. After mentioning that hadith on the levels of acceptance, he says here, وَهَذَا الْعَمَلُ الْكَامِلُ هُوَ الَّذِي يُكَفِّرُ تَكْفِيرًا كَامِلًا وَالنَّاقِصُ بِحَسَبِهِ. He says, in this particular action, transitioning onto expiations, he says, this particular action, complete action, this is what will receive expiations for it, complete expiations, and the deficiencies will be based on what we talked about earlier, the level of things that will prohibit it from complete expiation. And then Ibn Qayyim, he says here, Rahimullah, وَبِهَاتَيْنِ الْقَاعِدَتَيْنِ تَزُولُ الْإِشْكَالَاتٍ كَثِيرًا. And with these two principles, a lot of problems are solved. وَهُمَا, and they are, تَفَاضُلُ الْأَعْمَالِ بِتَفَاضُلِ مَا فِي الْقُلُوبِ مِنْ حَقَائِقِ الْإِيمَانِ. And this is the first one, which he talked about, which he says here, the variance of actions is contingent and dependent upon the variance of the intensity of iman in the heart. We talked about that. And then he mentions the second one, which he's about to explain. And the second qaida, second rule is, وَتَكْفِيرُ الْعَمَلِ لِلسَّيِّئَاتِ بِحَسَبِ كَمَالِهِ وَنُقْصَانِهِ. And the expiation of the action, of the evil action, being dependent on the completeness and the deficiency of that action. And that action, which we talked about earlier, when we say the action, know that when the Prophet ﷺ is saying any action is accepted or so on, so a salat ala waqtiha, this is the best thing beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim gave us the foundations. Even when you talk about action, what do you mean? Yes, there's the action that you perform of how to perform the prayer, but the ruh, As-salatin bila khushu'in kebadilin laruha fi, badilin mayyit, as he mentioned. The prayer with no khushu' is like the salat. The prayer with no khushu' is like the body with no soul. Now, what is the khushu'? The intensity of love, all these aspects of iman. Love, fear, reverence, trust, all of these aspects of iman, which we talked about before. So now he's saying, this action that you're doing can possibly even, or it does, relinquish and eliminate evil deeds. You know, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the chapter of Hud, verse 114, which is another foundational principle, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ, that verily the good deeds relinquish the evil deeds. So a good deed that you perform, you receive reward for it, but how it is manifest is up to Allah. Maybe He will erase that evil deed that you performed right before you did that good action. Maybe you did an evil action and Allah put in front of you, astaghfirullah, I need to get up and pray, or astaghfirullah, I need to leave this conversation, or leave this room. And because you did that, He forgave you for that previous sinful practice that you did and you sought remorse for. You never know, right? And that's what is, subhanAllah, beautiful in regards to this, you relying on Allah at all times, because you never know. You do your best. So Ibn Qayyim goes on to say here, وَبِهَذَا يَزُولُ الْإِشْكَالَ الَّذِي يُرِدُهُ مِنْ مَنْ نَقَصَ حَظُّهُ مِنْ هَذَا الْبَابِ عَلَى الْحَدِيثِ الَّذِي فِيهِ إِنَّ صَوْمَ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةِ يَوْمِ الْعَرَفَةَ يُكَفِّرُ سَنَتَيْنِ وَيَوْمَ عَشُرَاءِ يُكَفِّرُ سَنَةً. The Prophet ﷺ, he says here, وَبِهَذَا, and with this, what we just mentioned, these two particular characteristics or qaid rules, يَزُولُ الْإِشْكَالَ الَّذِي يُرِدُهُ مِنْ نَقَصَ. He said, it solves a problem for those that may not have clear understanding or pure understanding of in this particular chapter of life or of actions. And he mentioned upon the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verily the fasting on the day of Arafah expiates 2 years, and the fasting on the day of Ashura expiates 1 year. And this hadith particularly is on Muslim. Number 1,162. He says here, قَالُوا فَإِذَا كَانَ دَبُهُ دَائِمًا أَنْ يَسُومَ يَوْمَ عَرَفَ فَصَامَهُ وَصَامَ يَوْمَ عَشُرَ فَكَيْفَ يَقَعَ تَكْفِيرُ ثَلَاثِ سَنِينَ كُلَّ سَنَةً. Then the question may arise. The question may arise. He says, if this is someone's regular practice to fast, you know, to fast on the day of Arafah every year and to fast the day of Ashura every year, how does 3 years of expiation happen in 1 year? Because fasting on Yom Arafah, the Prophet ﷺ said, it expiates the sins of the year before and the sins of the year after. So if I'm fasting Yom Arafah 1987, inshallah, if Allah wills, it will relinquish the sins of 1986 and the sins of 1988. Now, fasting Yom Ashura will relinquish the sins of 1987, possibly, or any year, because he says, yukafiru sana. Ayy sana, Allahu a'lam. But scholars generally mention that sana in general. So, how can it be fasting 3 years, 2 + 1, in that year? He said, وَأَجَابَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَنْ هَذَا بِأَنَّ مَا فَضَّلَ عَنْ تَكْفِيرِ يَنَالُ بِهِ الدَّرَجَاتِ. He says, and some scholars answered on this particular, that whatever fadla an takfiri yanalu bihi darajat, that basically you will receive high levels and be given in a different type of way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. وَيَا اللَّهُ الْعَجَبُ فَلَيْتَ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا أَتَى بِهَذِهِ الْمُكَفِّرَاتِ كُلِّهَا أَنْ يُكَفِّرَ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتُهُ سَيِّئَاتِ بِاجْتِمَاعِ بَعْضِهَا إِلَى بَعْضٍ. He says, and he's amazed. يَا اللَّهُ الْعَجَبُ. He said, فَلَيْتَ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا أَتَى بِهَذِهِ الْمُكَفِّرَاتِ كُلِّهَا أَنْ يُكَفِّرَ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتُهُ. He said, firstly, basically saying, firstly, think about even doing the action. Even doing the action. And this is important when it comes to the adab, the manners, when asking questions about particular fada'il or good deeds. It's okay to ask and be inquisitive and to ask, how does this happen? But the first thing is, am I even doing it? Am I even doing it? And that is what is important here. Act, act, act. Don't get too caught up in analysis paralysis. Ask the question and keep it moving. Even if you really don't know the logic behind it, you know that the hadith is sahih and that the verse is authentic. The verse is the verse, right? Do the action first and then ask the question. So here, he's saying, فَلَيْتَ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا أَتَى بِهَذِهِ الْمُكَفِّرَاتِ If they were to come with these expiatory actions, all of them, that the sins would be relinquished, بَعْضُهَا إِلَى بَعْضُ بِاجْتِمَاعِ بَعْضُهَا إِلَى بَعْضُ All of them relinquished, inshallah. He should always see himself as deficient. So here he says, here, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَتَكْفِيرُ بِهَذِهِ مَشْرُوطٌ بِشُرُوطٍ And these relinquishment of actions have conditions. الْانْتِفَاءَ الْمَوَانِعِ فِي الْعَمَلِ وَخَارِجِ He said that they are done with the relinquishment of anything that would prohibit the reward. So for example, I say Allahu Akbar in the prayer, and then I get on my phone. That is a prohibited act which will relinquish the reward of the prayer and nullify it even, right? You stay away, you don't have anything that would nullify that action that you are doing. Okay, انتفاع موانع. فإن علم العبد أنه جاء بالشروط كلها وانتفت عنه الموانع كلها فهنا إذن يقع التكفير. So then he gave the two conditions, the two preliminary conditions that will cause an action to serve as an expiatory instrument against the evil deeds. He said, if the slave knew that he came with all of the conditions and all of the prohibitory actions were relinquished or not there, the things that prohibit an action from being accepted, this is when the expiation takes place. This is when the expiation takes place. وَأَمَّا عَمَلٌ شَمَلَتْهُ الْغَفْلَةُ أَوْ لِأَكْثَرِ وَفَقَدَ الْإِخْلَاصَ الَّذِي هُوَ رُوحُهُ وَلُبْهُ وَلَمْ يُوَفِّ حَقَّهُ وَلَمْ يُقَدِّرُهُ حَقَّ قَدْرِ فَأَيُّ شَيْءٍ يُكَفِّرُ هَذَا الْعَمَلِ So then Ibn al-Qayyim, he gives the example. He gives the qaida, and then he gives the example, right? So then he says here, but as far as the action that is full of and comprised of negligence and even more than that, like negligence, you're praying in the prayer and you're negligent of what you're wearing. You're wearing something that has a face on it, a picture on it. Or you're praying in a prayer, you're praying a prayer in a place that is najis. Or you don't even remember if you made wudu or not, right? All of these things prohibit the action from being accepted, right? Or you're not fulfilling the arkan. You come and you say Allahu Akbar, and then you don't care whether you did three or four. In your mind, did I do three or four? It doesn't matter. I just want to get this over with. You're not attentive. You're not taking it into high importance, right? Then he says here, وَفَقَدَ الْإِخْلَاصِ And he lost his sincerity. He's thinking about something totally different. He's thinking about work. Or he's doing it to impress somebody, right? You're praying the prayer, but you want to impress somebody, right? That's riyah. That could be riyah. أَلَذِي هُوَ رُوحُهُ So the ikhlas that is the soul of the prayer, then there's not going to be any type of takfir because he did not fulfill the pillars the wajibat, which is obligatory for him or her, nor did he have any of the feelings from that, the feelings internally from the iman that brings the life to the prayer. And then he asks, فَأَيُّ شَيْءٍ يُكَفِّرْ هَذَا الْعَمَلِ So how is this going to be any form of expiation? And this is important because when we look at this, especially for those that are studying fiqh, sometimes it can be very dry. You study the arkan, okay, there's 14 arkan with the hanabila and so on and so forth, 18 with this madhab. Okay, now, طيب. Yeah, we have to have ikhlas, but you have to have these. No, remember, all of these are a means. Salah in and of itself is a means for you to strengthen your connection with Allah. It is not the goal. It is a means that Allah has legislated for us. And those means we should hold dearly and in high regard because Allah legislated it. When you hold it in high regard, that is proof of you holding Allah in high regard. And that's what Ibn al-Qayyim is articulating here. That's why this chain of thought is so beautiful because it's all connected. It's all connected. And this is what gives you fiqh of the religion. This is the beauty of reading the books of the earlier scholars. And Allah knows best.